standing right on the edge, and he pushed me out, and then he killed me. I'm not going back. I've done my share.
I don't know.
Are you a quitter, Tony? Are you a quitter?
No, I know that we have plans at 9:30, and he, by the time I get over there, he should be dead. And I'm still gonna get my gold medal for it anyway, so.
Do you get it even if you die? Like, if you die and you didn't go back?
I don't know, we'll find out. I think so.
Are you adding Shane?
I. Just. Hold on! There, he died. I only got silver for that?
I only got a silver too.
Oh my god, alright, I'm leaving this game forever. I'm teleporting. Lavender beds.
What game are you living forever?
What?
He's not. He's just raging right now. Don't worry about it.
All right,
Scott. How? What's Shane's thing?
S. Lidke.
I don't. Out of contact. Okay.
This is quality content that we're recording.
Excellent. I'm leaving PlayStation for the Final Fantasy universe. Also PlayStation. All the universes I'm part of, I'm leaving. Alright, how do you spell Shane's thing? So it's S-L-I-D. I don't know what it is.
K.
K.
Yeah.
I was right?
Yep.
Oh, there he is, okay. Add to contact. And then I will add to group call Skype.
Age of Wonders is multiplayer, isn't it?
Yes. 1-player, multiplayer, co-op.
Semi-co-op.
Local co-op, Steam achievements, includes level editor and Steam trading cards.
I'm sorry, they're not trading cards when they are virtual. They are JPEGs. Trading JPEGs.
Yes, I agree. They're useless.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I think I got... Chain is connecting.
So Tony is the anonymous one?
Am I?
Well, what?
There's no picture of him. You two are grinning. Shane and Matt, but... And I'm Ben playing with a fez.
That's how it is. She's catching some.
I hear
hey, Matt.
You. Hello.
Lynn says you have a good picture.
Oh, thanks. That's me at work being bored. I think it was a weekend.
Nice.
All right, Scott. I shut my PlayStation off, so I'm all yours.
Alright, we have everybody. Do you know if Lenny is available? Because he hasn't responded to me.
Well, he's offline on Skype. Let me phone. Not phone. Text. Using my phone. Using the technology.
It's like we're living in the future.
Conference calling. Using the internet.
How are you doing, Shane?
I'm doing alright.
That's good.
A little tired after my day at the farm, but...
The day at Farmville?
No, not Farmville.
No, an actual farm. With no hit points or anything. Just actual creatures.
That's right. Like, real living.
I don't get it. I just don't understand. What do you mean?
Alright, Tony, I'm getting this.
You getting what?
Age of Wonders.
If you get it, I'll get it.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Alright,
I... Alright, we'll think about it. We'll talk about it before we go to bed.
Wow,
that sounds wrong.
So
wrong.
We'll discuss it in bed. Right after we talk about bills and kiss each other goodnight.
Well, I know your body. You're all worried about it right now.
You know what? I'm not gonna get it right
now. Not right now. We still have 15 hours before the sale changes, so.
Yeah, but I feel like it might, you know, what if it goes?
It might, yeah. It's gonna go 66%. It's gonna go 66%.
75%. Bastion's 85% off right now.
Bastion's like 3 years old.
And $2.
Which is all the games I own that I attempt to play. So, don't be knocking 2011.
God, I like Bastion.
I know, I've won Bastion. It's like, actually...
Do I have Bastion?
Yes, you
do. I do, okay.
Yeah, I actually won Bastion. Shane, you did too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That's right.
Something crazy happens at the end of Bastion, right?
Well, really, the whole story's kind of crazy.
Something crazy happened at the start.
Yeah.
There was some crazy in the middle, too. And, you know, there was a cup of crazy. I want to try Transistor just because of the narrator, but I've been told that he's not quite the same character in Transistor. Like, he doesn't talk as much.
Yeah, no, he's not quite the same.
No, it's a different feel than Bastion. It's still a great story. I haven't gotten too far into it, but it's definitely a different. He's not the narrator. He's a character. Well, so is the narrator, but he's not. Transistor, he's literally there the whole time, as opposed to the narrator, which is only there part of the time.
There's no base camp in Transistor because it's all cyberpunky.
Yeah.
And she can't afford to have a condo or something, so she just walks the streets. As one is to do when you have a giant sword that lets you pause time and min-max attributes to kill creatures.
It's a very common thing.
Yeah. I read about it in the paper all the time. So.
Lynn said he's Skypeless, which doesn't make any sense since he's a contact. And then he's like, hold on, I don't have it on my PC.
Okay.
So he might be making it happen.
So, Shane, I'm still tweaking that Reyna deck.
Yeah?
Yeah. I should really be tweaking my Jinteki deck, which I think will get smoked, because I don't think it has enough econ. But,
Celebrity Gift. Is your friend.
I know. I have media fundraiser in it. I think I am going to put in Celebrity Gift. The question is what I'm taking out of it. I'm doing the Tentaki Institute, so I'm trying for a... Which is weird for Tentaki, is avoiding taxing ice instead of going for stop ice, so... Or don't touch my stuff ice. So...
So you're going to be like... You're going to win? You're going to win on Saturday?
I highly doubt it. I'm not playing Andromeda, and I'm not playing NBN, so... And I've never been to a tournament before, so the odds are kind of stacked against me. But, and I don't think my... I don't know if I have enough in my deck to surprise anyone either, so... I am running Plan B, which I hope will score me a couple things here and there, but... That means something only to Shane.
Yeah, Scott, I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Scott, you should really just tune your Replicating Perfection deck.
Yeah. Tell the heckler she has to leave.
I'm sitting right here.
Get out of here. Scoop.
We can hear you. We can sense you. You're a judge of our nerdery.
Matt, I think you should vote for the next steam pile.
All right, that's right.
I like how Tony tries. You're like, no way. I'm gonna be me. I'm just gonna keep going.
Yep, I can't stop.
Tom
Dustin is online. Hold on.
Well, yeah, like, see, we're gonna, the crew hasn't even assembled yet. So. just vote for the point click adventures. I want to own you.
I don't know, I never really watched boxing either, so.
What is
I always thought boxing was boring. I got into UFC kind of early on and fell out of it.
All right, everyone else hears that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Steph Curtis.
The voices, they've chosen me.
To apparently play UFC fighting.
Yeah, I have to kick people in the head. It's my calling.
Yeah, obviously you've never watched it, Tony, because that's not where they kick.
Wait, maybe they don't, I don't know.
They do sometimes, don't they? I don't know. I think we're out of our element.
Only on the highlight reels.
So was that Lenny? Because he's in the call now.
Must have been.
But he probably doesn't have a mic or something like that.
I don't see
it. He could probably hear us.
But there's no... Yeah. Lenny!
These are the ghosts of futures, past, the present, and alternate dimension because there's four of us.
Past, near past, present, and future. Or no, it'd be, sorry, past, present, near future, and far future.
Yeah, because the future is infinite, right? So
yeah.
It covers a lot of space. Actually, it covers a lot of time. Sorry. I apologize for,
and space.
For my uncanon...
I'm interested to vote here, Matt. I think right now, until Lenny joins, we're split on doctors. We've got two Tenets and we've got two Smiths.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lenny's the tiebreaker.
Well, no, Tony is impartial.
Ah, Tony's a Tenet.
No, I don't
know. I love all Doctor Who's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, more of a
but when you go to sleep, there's only one you dream of.
Is there? That's just a failure of imagination.
No, Scott. Mine are the 50-year special. There are lots of doctors in my dreams.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to see what this new one's going to be all about.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
We just assume that he's very good?
Yep.
Yeah, no, already. The pictures, he's already very good. Just by the pictures alone.
Yeah, I saw a couple of pictures, too.
He just has to stand in doorways, eh? Is that what we're telling everybody?
Exactly.
My concern more is for Moffat, because I'm afraid that he's trying to make everything the same kind of cool and sexy like Sherlock, and the way he was kind of meddling with it with the Christmas episode in Doctor Who. Like it seems like he's kind of having more fun with the audience than he's actually with like the actual stories themselves.
He's actually retroconning it. He's bringing it in a big... He's basically writing out what Russell Davis did. Russell Davis essentially changed the Doctor in a hipper, kiddie way, I guess, and put a lot of at the same time put that gravity about the Time War, and so basically Moffat has been slowly but surely dismantling that and bringing it more back in line with the traditional one, and the fact that the Doctor's now old is probably one of the biggest changes to the way the old series was, which was an old guy who traveled around with kids.
Well, see, I always assumed, like, that with the Doctor is that each regeneration that he did, he got younger and younger. Or it seemed like he did, roughly.
It definitely seemed that way.
It wasn't exact science, but it seemed like. And Matt Smith, it's like, he's only 26 years old, right? So, like he's, like, the youngest one. And then, since he got, like, a new lease on life, right, with all the new lives and stuff like that, I'm assuming it just resets the regeneration, so then he goes back to an old one again. And then he's going to get progressively younger again.
But he's also made...
I see the trend that you're thinking of, but I don't think that was the case, because if you take a look at Colin Baker to Sylvester McCoy... That was an age difference. But then, again, from there, it went from him to McGann, which was a younger person.
See, McCoy was my doctor.
Yeah, I like McCoy.
Which one was McCoy? I need my numbers.
The one with all the question marks.
That was the sixth?
Seventh.
Oh, okay.
Sixth had the crazy patchwork jacket.
Oh, okay. And no one liked him, right?
Yeah, I liked him.
Well,
but you like all of them. We just went over this.
It's in your... He's in the dream. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's in there. Don't worry about it.
He's in there.
He's in there.
He's in the background. He's like one of the extras that just walks through, walks well, across the
room. Between him and the Eighth Doctor, they have the shortest amount of screen time, like number of episodes. So. And he had
Paul McGann did a really good job with the audiobooks.
The audio dramas? Yeah, I need to sit down. I haven't listened to audiobooks in a while, but I listened to a lot of the Seventh Doctor's audiobooks.
Yeah, take a listen to Big Finish Productions. Did a whole run with Paul McGann. They did like two or three seasons with him, and then they did a whole bunch of different stories with a lot of the other ones.
And and it all became canon with the teaser mini episode for the War.
Yeah, all the companions that he made reference to were the ones from his audio dramas.
Yeah.
And they were really well done. I really enjoyed them.
I'm asking Lenny if he can hear us.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Hey!
Lenny! How is everyone?
So, Lenny, right off the bat at the top of this podcast for you coming in, big question. Smith or Tennant?
I would say Tennant quite easily.
Oh, man!
Yeah. Wait, we just have, like, the Tony who's Switzerland.
Tony's a Tennant, Matt. We have to face facts that we've lost this fight for now.
So yeah, I think Tony could vote for himself. I'm not ready to throw this fight.
Yeah. I'm willing to withhold my judgment for now. To keep this conversation going for later.
All right. So you're good there, Lenny? You're all set up?
I think so.
All right.
Are you recording or were you recording?
I've been recording 18 minutes of this wonderful footage.
You know, to be honest...
Hey, it's your hard drive space, man.
Out of the podcast, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, very popular podcasts, the most best thing about them is that they derail all the time, which I only assume that is what we're going to be doing.
Well, that's how radio works, right? If you're not on the clock
with
advertising.
Unless you're a producer on the other side of a piece of glass directing you.
And he's like, enough with the Doctor Who, enough with the Doctor Who.
Yeah, what is this, some sort of gaming podcast? We talk about Doctor Who?
All right.
So, like, do we have an outline for this thing? Or?
Well, I thought we'd basically say that, so we're basically, I'll throw out ideas, because I haven't really had a chance to talk to all of you. So the idea, the website name I have working title is No Time to Play Today, and essentially we'd be talking about video games, board games, card games, movies, TVs, of all the things that we want to play but cannot. And so the theme would be probably to go through each category where people can bring up a topic of what they have played, what they haven't played, what they would like to buy to play, etc. So I don't know which category we'd start with, but probably what there might be news for. So like, for instance, for video games, we could discuss E3 and how there's a lot of stuff that we don't have or have bought now.
And
play.
How 2015 is going to be a really awesome year for video games?
Yeah, you could say that too.
So we've got 2 years to talk about that.
2 years?
Well, we're in 2014, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I'm 70% sure that I knew what year it was.
Wait a minute. It's 2012, and you guys can't convince me otherwise.
I wish it was 2012. What a great year that was.
Oh, the memories.
No way, man. 2014's working up pretty good for me.
All right, Lenny, you're going to need to get a face.
Get a face?
So does Tony. Tony needs a face, too. But he has to choose... He's trying to decide what doctor to use as his avatar, and he's already said he can't make choices, so...
Yeah, really, what I see is Tony made his choice of what his favorite doctor is just by his avatar profile face.
I'm glad Matt's paying attention.
Why, what? You guys already talking about this?
No. Oh. No, I'm being serious, yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm sorry if I sounded condescending, I'm sorry.
I just assume
I'm being sarcastic all the time now. Is that it?
Yeah, that is actually it. All right, well, so are we just going to... We can hammer out an outline right now.
Oh, sure.
I have a super loud keyboard now, so we can
all hear it happen.
You can all hear me typing.
Well, why don't we start off real quick? We'll start off with video games, with E3 wrapping up. I'm sure that everyone has at least one game that they'd really like to play that they don't have, so why don't we start with Lenny?
Sorry, I'm still looking for a picture.
Okay, Shane.
Disgaea 4 is my choice.
And why?
Sorry?
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't even see anything like that Disgaea 4 on.
It was displayed, it just wasn't highlighted by Sony, but NIS had it in their booth.
Oh, okay, cool.
So what's special about it? Is it same old, but just done nicer, or is it what?
It's a port of the PS3 game for the Vita, but it's got all the DLC, but mainly it's for the Vita, so...
So is it just for the Vita, or is it one of those, like, cross-buy, cross...
This one's for the Vita.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Disgaea 3 came out for the Vita, and it was pretty awesome.
It was very awesome.
I didn't get too far into it, because the pretty lights distracted me, but...
The pretty lights of the game, or the pretty lights of...
No, I think Disgaea, it was part of the PlayStation Plus thing, but a lot of other stuff was coming out around the same time. So I downloaded it, and I played a little bit of it, and then I think that's when I started to get into Persona 4 really bad.
Probably, yeah.
And then I just...
Very close to the same time.
Oh my god, I love Persona 4 so much. But anyway, sorry. Just nostalgia.
Can anyone see my new pick?
I do not.
I do not.
I do.
Nice.
Also not your face, but...
No, I don't enjoy showing my face.
I wonder if it's Scott because we don't have these two as our contacts.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your contact?
God, I don't know.
It looks like
it's Anthony.
Anthony.
Wait, Anthony...
dot Ironmonger. All lowercase because he doesn't think he's important enough to have...
No,
Lenny, or Lenny. Sorry, Tony. No trash talking yourself.
Sorry, I'm finding a way to do it without needing to type because I am that lazy. Done.
I can't seem to find you.
Oh, there we go. I have him.
Oh, wait. So, Anthony.
Hang on. The
A-N-T.
Done. There, look at something else because I sent you an invite. It's there somewhere.
A-N-T-H. O-N-Y.
Oh, wait. A-N...
Oh, there's the doctor.
T-H...
Yeah, there.
A-N-T-H... O-
O-N-Y...
N-Y...
Dot... Iron...
Iron...
Monger. Iron.
Like the villain in Iron Man 1.
That was Stain. There he is.
All right, so not that...
I really enjoy that picture of the doctor.
Thank you.
All right, I've got him.
That's a very cool picture. I like it. It's always, like, as soon as I got Skype, I'm like, yep, it's going to be a jump. Sure.
All right, so he's in, and then I've got to add Lenny. What are you, Lenny?
I'm that, T-H-A-T, _ guy, _ Len.
Oh, that guy, Len.
That guy,
that guy, or that guy.
That's weird. I still don't get Tony's picture.
I haven't.
Well, you could probably just accept his invite, his add to contact deal.
I did do that. He's in, but I still don't have.
Is it because your laptop is old?
No, I'm using the iPad.
It's because Apple.
Oh, well, how are you recording this then?
I'm record. I found an app that works now. And then I can send the file to an FTP site if we need it.
So, like, we can't record for a long period of time then, because...
Yeah, we can.
But, well, how much crap do you have on your iPad?
Not that much.
I guess if it's just audio...
This conversation.
Yeah, it's just audio. It's not going to be that bad, so...
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
I can't find that guy then. Hello?
Skype is hard.
Yeah, it only took me 2 seconds to add both of them. but anyway.
Yeah, I know. It was point and click for me. I didn't have my glasses on.
Oh, the Tenet boys. They're a bunch of jerks. You know who are jerks? The Tenet boys.
I agree. What about Diamond? Is she playing Minecraft?
No, she's saying that if everyone agrees, then she says, I agree, I should get more diamonds.
What, more diamonds?
Again, it's just the peanut gallery. Ignore.
I like diamonds. You should get her diamonds. I thought she'd want a power tool of some sort.
Or like a bandsaw.
Lenny, you need to add me, because I can't seem to get you.
Okay.
I don't think seeing our faces is important, though, considering it's not
well,
our
Well, you know
faces.
What? We were talking about games and anticipating, and then we got sidebarred on this thing, so...
I think you were the one that sidebarred us.
Well, I'm recording it, so I'm going to totally edit that out if that's the case, so...
All right, did you get my invite, then?
Yep. All right, I got you. But I still want pictures for you guys.
Hey, Matt, why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to?
Oh, my God. There's so much I'm looking forward to, actually.
Well, pick your top three.
That you can actually buy now.
That I can buy now?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Buy this year.
Well, if it was buy now, it'd be the Valiant Hearts thing, because I bought it today. Because that, you know, the war one, the World
War
One.
Yeah, that's my pick as well.
Yeah, that looks cool. I played like the first chapter of it. It seems pretty awesome, and you would really like it, Scott, especially because it has a bunch of history stuff in there too.
Yeah.
So it's like every time something happens, you can actually hit the triangle button, and it'll tell you like real history of like what happened during the war, and like kind of explaining the situation that you're in, how it involves in it and stuff. So that's pretty cool. But that's not my top pick. My top pick would be. Top three here. I'm really upset that Sunset Overdrive is not for anything but the Xbox, because it looks really, really, really good.
I have to agree with that. That game looks phenomenal.
Yeah, like, that game, like, almost makes me want to get an Xbox because of how awesome it is. It's pretty much, if you're merging, like, Infamous with Ratchet and Clank, that's what that game is, and
I love... little Jet Set Radio?
Yeah, Jet Set... Yeah, that would be another... It's just so good. Alright, so there's that. Zelda for the Wii U looks awesome. And... The Order. 1886 for the PlayStation.
Yeah, that one looked really interesting.
Yeah, with the when he's like running away from the werewolf dude.
Yeah.
And because we don't have enough cyberpunk video games, that's something that, you know.
Well, I would say cyberpunk, but it wasn't at E3 this year, so. Because the CD Projekt, the guy that's making Witcher, they're making the cyberpunk. Afterwards.
Yeah.
And that, from the little I know about that, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, no, I remember that role-playing game. I never actually got to play it, but I own it. But it's
very similar to Shadowrun, right?
Yeah, way more deadly than Shadowrun. Way faster. Runs much smoother.
No, I mean, like, story-wise.
Well, yeah, no, because Shadowrun basically stole the cyberpunk thing from Cyberpunk and then just added magic. And that was the differentiator between the two. I personally, as much as I played Shadowrun so much, if you ask me which one I think is better, I would probably argue that Cyberpunk, you could get up and go and play very quickly a Cyberpunk game, but your guys would also probably be dead within 40 minutes, because it is a very fast, crazy game. Like, cybered up solos in that, which are their Street Samurais, are crazy. Like, it just ends badly for everybody. I'd recommend playing it, which if we ever can get organized on that, we can try that. But
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right, so what about, I don't know who's next, either Lenny or...
Well, you already hit on mine, which was Valiant Hearts, which I want to pick up probably next month, maybe, or something like that. But that would be my number one out of the E3. And there was another game, I'm trying to... Mirror's Edge looked interesting for me, too, so... The new one.
Oh, yeah, that's an Xbox exclusive as well.
I know.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Just for a limited time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm pretty sure they're, like, publishing it, though, aren't they?
Seems odd that they would do that, but maybe. I have not seen anything about it, so...
Oh, man, Far Cry 4. That was the other one I was...
Far Cry 4. That's on my radar.
And not the Phantom Pain?
Oh, that one, I'm interested in that one, too.
I have to, like, replay Metal Gear, because I feel like...
No, you have to rewatch Metal Gear with moments of playing.
I probably could just, like, go on YouTube and just, like, find all the cutscenes and just, like, watch it like a movie. Yeah.
I must admit that was, like, I've played them all, and I would probably say Snake Eater was my favorite as far as playing. Because Metal Gear 4, like, I just finished that. That was one of the ones I finished this year, and I felt like I spent most of my time watching it. And I still enjoyed it, but I was like, man, I really feel like I'm not playing this game.
Did it have, like, save points, like, during the...
Yeah, there were, like, multiple save points during cutscenes. Like, I would probably get through, like, 3 or 4, and I'm like, I don't understand how this is happening.
There's a lot of good ones at Ubisoft. Ubisoft actually had a really good show.
I must confess that the Assassin's Creed Unity, I am interested in only because, as I've said to Matt before, I am a sucker for French Revolution stuff, so.
It does look really good, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Another one that I'm interested in is Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah, the Telltale series, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that anything they do is so good. I don't know, have you guys played Wolf Among Us yet?
Nope.
No, not yet.
I haven't, but have not played it.
Lenny is in the spirit of this podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I think I'm going to be the only one that's like, I tried it for a little bit at least. Like, I at least tried it.
I would have tried it if they had brought it out for the Vita like they said they were going to last fall, but they still haven't, so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I thought I heard something about them.
Are you really sure, Shane? Are you really sure?
Yes, I'm really sure.
I'm just looking up the like a list of a bunch of things that came out. Apparently, Evolve is pretty good. It's like when one person plays like an alien creature, and then the like four other players play people trying to destroy the alien creature. So it's like a 1v4, but like the creature is much more powerful than everyone else. That's kind of cool. So you have to like work together, and then like there's like 3 phases. So like the first phase, like you're kind of weak, so you're kind of running away from the 4 people, and then you can like, you know, power up like by, I don't know, I think you eat creatures or do something. And you'll go to like the phase 2, so you're like equal power, and then you get to the point where you can go to like phase 3 when you're much powerful than everyone else, and then you're the one chasing the other guys. So right. Kind of it's like this back and forth kind of thing, which is kind of cool.
Okay, guys, I've got a crying kid. I got to step away for a minute. Are you guys going to keep going?
Oh, yeah, we'll keep going. All
right.
What about you, Tony? I know you didn't really watch E3 too much. But...
Yeah, I got to be honest, I don't know what's coming out, but... being a big bargain bin shopper, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the Steam summer sale. And having said that, I've got 175 games in my Steam library, and I've only played about 30 of them, so I've got a big pile of games in front of me. Age of Wonders, Matt and I were talking about that earlier, that has been staring me in the face for a while now. It's down to 50%. If it goes 66, it's mine. I've got all kinds of content on here that I should be trying to get through.
Do we know if Age of Wonders is it turn-based, or is it...
I think it was turn-based, yes.
Okay, that's good. Because it looks a lot like Civ, only it's like a fantasy setting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a little smaller scale when it comes to map size, but yeah, that's the same idea. I just picked up Arkham Origins. I haven't touched that yet.
Hey, what did you think of Arkham Knight, Matt? Or Ben? Oh yeah, Arkham Knight looks so good.
The trailer looks so good.
Did you see it in the press conference? There is it shows him like driving around in the Batmobile. Yeah,
yep.
That was pretty awesome.
Now apparently that footage was taken from PC. I don't know if it's targeted for, you know, PS4 specs or Xbox specs, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to look that good, but it's still probably going to look really good.
Yeah. That's the thing that bothers me about, like, I don't know if you guys know Total Biscuit at all?
Never
heard of them. Okay, like, Total Biscuit is, he's a guy that does, like, a podcast and stuff like that, and he's obsessed. And it seems like if you like really dig deep into like the video game, like the video game news and stuff like that, everyone seems completely obsessed with resolution and frame rate. And like especially this one guy on this podcast, he's like, if it's not 1080p and 60 frames a second, he doesn't even want to play it.
Matt loves that guy.
Sorry?
You love that guy. You're talking about Biscuit or whatever his name is, Toe Biscuit?
Yeah, well, the reason why I listen to his podcast is because it's so interesting to see someone that has the exact opposite opinion about everything that I do.
And you like Dodger.
Yeah, I like Dodger. She's cool. But she's a pushover as well, because I know she doesn't agree with Total Biscuit that much, but she just kind of goes along with it because he keeps talking. But, It seems that there's this weird thing going on about how everyone's obsessed with resolution and frame rate when there's so many good games that resolution doesn't mean anything for, like, if it's, like for example, like, I think, like, Watch Dogs is at, like, 900p or something like that instead of 1080p. Like, you're not going to notice that unless you have this giant TV screen that you're playing on. Or, like, if the frame rate, like, anything... 30 or above, you're not really going to notice the difference. In fact, that Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, in my opinion, doesn't work as well as it did for the PS3 because it's at 60 frames a second, so all of the cutscenes during it are like that weird soap opera effect. You know how it like, you know how it's like it almost looks like it's fast forward, but it's not.
Yeah,
and it's very jarring. I don't even like it at all. I like the cinematic look more in video games and stuff like that. So I fear that if everyone wants that 60 frame 1080p and all the games are like that, I'm not gonna like it as much as like 30 frames.
I just found a game. It keeps popping up in the last 5 minutes. You're just scrolling around on Steam. It's popped up in my recommended pile. Artemis.
Oh, really? Oh, guys, we should totally play
it's
Artemis.
It's like $7.
I don't know. Have you guys heard about Artemis at all?
Is that the game where you all have different stations?
Yeah.
Everybody's got
like
a different responsibility, and the captain does not have a computer at his disposal. He has to give orders.
Yeah, the captain only has a main view screen.
Yeah. And then based off of the information that the crew relays to the captain makes decisions, and then the crew has to execute.
Yeah.
Apparently it's really stupid hard, but sounds fun to me.
That's the one that, Lenny, I showed you that video on?
Yeah.
The guy's like drinking a beer, he's like, alright, let's do it.
Are you talking about Armatus or whatever?
Artemis, yeah.
And then they got the enemy to
okay, so now Tony
blew them up.
Yep, that's the one.
Sorry, I have to interrupt for a second, Tony. I'm feeding Ben here, so you need to keep your tenant propaganda to yourself, okay?
You don't want to corrupt a young baby.
Yeah, corrupt a young baby.
It's okay.
So going back to the resolution gate.
Yes.
I'm just of two minds on that one. On the one hand, as technology moves forward, I feel that at some point there should be a standard, and that standard probably should be 1080p 60 frames. Now, with that being said, if I see a game I like and it's not 1080p and it's not 60 frames a second, that's not going to be enough for me not to purchase that game.
Yeah, I would argue...
I find that very true, too.
For me, I find that, the resolution talk tends to be sort of insider baseball. Like, these guys play games for a living, right? Like, they review... They go through so many games, which is, like, you tend to have a problem. Once you go from being someone who just consumes a game here and there to enjoy it versus someone who has to play tons of games and review them and do playthroughs, all of a sudden, then... resolution becomes important, really critical to you, I guess, I would say, when you're differentiating them. Because if you play, like, five first-person shooters, because let's be honest, most first-person shooters have the same story. Like, just like most Japanese RPGs have the same story. If you play a whole quantity of them, there's got to be something that you start noticing, and probably resolution would be one of them. If you're playing Wolfenstein, and then you play Dishonored, and then you play... help me out here. We've got... BioShock,
no, Skyrim, or
you know, like it, once you start going through a whole bunch of them, that sort of thing would probably you'd notice it and differentiate on that. Whereas if you're a regular person who probably just plays, well, not a regular person, but those types of people who play Call of Duty,
the end user, I as an end user, like when you're getting into like the year 2080 in your Civ game, and all of a sudden things start slowing down, the first thing I adjust is the graphics, the details. I start dialing it back so that the game runs better. So, like, yeah, I understand, you know, having a nice, pretty game in front of me is nice, but at the end of the day, it's the playability that's going to get me satisfaction.
So, yeah, for you, it would be, like, resolution isn't as important as frame rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, you know, like, obviously frame rate's important because once it dips below, like, 20-something, it's obviously...
Then you actually start noticing it, yeah.
And,
but,
I'm sorry, Professor Watson, could you repeat that? So it's 20-something that it dictates?
Yes,
what,
20-something is 20-something, the... 20-something,
yep.
All right,
write that on the chalkboard.
Yeah, is the...
carry the two.
Well, it's like...
Divide by trapezoid.
The human eye only sees, what, 24 frames a second?
All right. 27, I think.
27?
You can Google it, but I'm lazy.
I'm below a keyboard. I'll Google it right now.
Beep, 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 beep.
So just to wrap up on Tony, have you said what while I was away? Did you say what you were in?
I'm more of a bargain bin shopper as opposed to anything that's new release. So, Steam Summer Sale and Artemis. I think you came back during the Artemis conversation.
Yeah.
It's a low tech game, but it's got an interesting concept, and I like to try it.
All right. Well, okay. If everyone said stuff, then I would say, I guess in the spirit of the podcast, is there one game right now that you feel you should be playing that you've owned for a long time and haven't finished? I'll say mine. Eternal Sonata is mine. That's for Lenny.
Eternal Sonata.
That's for Lenny.
I gotta say Dragon Age, because I got to a point, and I had this long conversation with Matt, because why I haven't beat Dragon Age, and it was a matter of the values that my character had developed throughout the course of the game. So when a proposition comes up, I don't want to ruin the game in case any of you want to play it, but a proposition came up that I felt my character would be morally opposed to, so I directed the conversation in that way. Which resulted in one of the key members of my party leaving in the last 20 minutes of the game without me having the ability to fill the void that they left behind. So, in a rage, I haven't gone back because I don't know how to fix it. So I'm going to have to start all over again with the expectations of them either leaving or me capitulating and letting them get what they want so that they'll stay. But that's a game that I really regret not finishing.
I don't know what it is about Dragon Age, but I feel like everything about Dragon Age I should love, but I don't like it. Like, I can't continue on with it for some reason. I even reinstalled it again onto my computer.
Like, is it the controls or, like, the camera?
I think it's the combat in general that it gets me not liking it.
See, I love the combat. Like, the stop anywhere, zoom in, turn, select your character, select your enemy. Like, I like the fact that I can stop time and take a look around and really examine.
I'm gonna pull a mat on this. I was playing that, and what I found, what slowed me down, was that it was remarkably generic, would be the word I would use. It was as I went into further, I'm like, this story is very paint by numbers fantasy. Like, it wasn't.
Are you talking about the story or combat?
No, you know what, I'm horrible at interfaces, so the ability to pause it and allow me to think is handy. So I didn't. That's probably what kept me going for a bit, was the fact that I could kind of give the illusion that I was under control of this thing. But it had all the same problems. Like, I had a huge inventory system, which, unless I dedicated a six-month course to, I probably wouldn't master. It had, like, an elf and a dwarf. And it had an evil that was seeping into the world, and it had brown tone sepia mountains, and it had Romanesque features beside dirty little towns, and then you had to go help people in the town catch rats,
but every game has that. Point to it, to an RPG that does not have you killing rats for the first 10 minutes of the game.
That's a very, and they even poke fun at it.
So, yeah, like, there's a lot of cliche, but I like the adventure that went along with
it. Hold on, I'm trying to think of an RPG.
User interface made it easy for
would
you
to consider,
go along. Like, I would love to play
would
Skyrim,
you consider,
but I can't because the interface.
Would you consider System Shock an RPG?
Ooh.
Yeah, in a way.
So then it didn't have, you didn't kill rats in that one.
You're really stretching.
Yeah.
I'm just going through my repertoire now of games of RPGs I've played, and I'm trying to think of. I can only think of the point and click RPGs that you don't have that problem, but.
But yes, it does definitely conform to a particular.
Hey,
kind of
Shane.
Archetype game.
Soul Sacrifice. Do you kill? Do you kill rats in that one?
Yeah, giant rats.
Duh. God dang it.
Although they call them goblins, because Soul Sacrifice has very strange ways of calling things. So, like, there's giant cats that they actually call orcs, and you have to kill those too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's definitely different from most interpretations of how things are, but the goblins are basically giant rats.
That's awesome.
Are they near the beginning or are they further in? Sort of throughout. So at the beginning they're called grunts, so they're not like a real boss, but they will hang around on areas where there is a boss. So at the start, though, you just fight like a wave of them, and then later on, they'll be there when you're trying to fight a boss, trying to interrupt you, sort of thing. So,
okay, so they're like ads.
Yeah, they're minions or whatever you want to call them, but in this game, they're called grunts. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have the exact opposite problem of Scott, because the combat, I think, for me, because I feel that it has, like. The way that the combat is, just like the pause is handy but I feel like the pause function was put in there because the combat itself couldn't flow properly if you didn't pause it. Does that make sense? And so,
I think so, yeah, because if it was a single player, like you were the only character on the screen control, it would be no problem, but you've got a party of four. So you have to have the time to coordinate your tactics. So there are the tactics that you can set up, like the strategies that you can pre-program ahead of combat. So as soon as they engage, they know exactly what they're going to do under what. It's then when you choose to fine-tune from there, that's where things get complicated, and that's where the breakdown can happen.
Yeah.
So you really have to have a plan going in and just have them pre-programmed. If you don't want to use the pause function, they will survive. You just have to have them programmed properly.
Until they don't survive.
Until they don't survive. At which point, hit F8.
What does F8 do?
It restores your last save.
Oh. All right, well, who's next? Who has that game that they just,
I've said mine was Eternal Sonata, and then Tony said Dragon Age, so I guess it's Shane.
I have too many of those to count.
I know.
Me too. But
I just opened up my Steam library and looked at the first one that came up.
Yeah, so the first one that comes to my mind would be Persona 4, which I played for a while and loved it, and I got another game for Christmas that I wanted to try out, and then I started playing that game, and then another game came out, and I haven't gotten back to Persona 4.
How far did you get in Persona 4?
I finished the first semester, I guess you'd say. Like, I had the first midterm test sort of thing. I finished that, and it was just slightly after that, so...
Oh, okay. Man, that game was so good. That's the thing, too, though. Like, it took me a while to, like, set the proper amount of time away for that game, because it's, like, you have to, like, it's a lot to get into, because it starts off slow. Like, it builds on the story, and the story is what kind of keeps you in it. But, like, you know, the mechanics of the game don't get revealed until hours and hours into the game. So, like, once you're past that, though, like, which I think you did get past that, I think you're then it becomes, like, just so good. And it was, like, probably the best localization of a Japanese game that I've played in a really long time. Just the way that they did all the voice acting and all the stuff for that, like, you know, it's, like, obviously it's not like, super top-notch, but it's, like, since the traditional JRPG only has about 6 different voice actors that they use for every single character. It was a nice change to actually hear, like, some really good voice acting from a JRPG.
That's one advantage of Ubisoft games, is the fact that the cultural cues in Quebec are very close to cultural cues in English culture, so you don't have the same problems, I guess, localizing, quote-unquote.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, yeah, because there's a lot of, Ubisoft's really good for localization. Mm-hmm. But they're Canadian, so I mean, that's probably... Maybe they're not, if I was in another country. What about you, Lenny?
Now, is this the game that I've played and then stopped playing, or is this the game that I own that I haven't played yet?
Either.
I would say either one.
Because I've been really looking forward to playing A Link Between Worlds.
Oh yeah.
And I haven't gone to it yet.
That's such a good game too. Actually, that game would be like one for me too, because I only got a little bit into it. I never beat it yet either.
I should also mention that I bought a 3DS XL.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Did you get a game with it, or is it just the basic?
Just the basic. I got it. It was $110 because the edge of the box was crushed.
Just the box? That's awesome.
Just the box. So I'm like, I'll take that.
Wow, there you
go. That's a really good deal. Yeah, the XL is a lot better. Like, just because the screen is so much nicer, right?
But the other game I would probably point to is the same one as Scott, Eternal Sonata. I got so far in that game, and then I just... Because the goal was, if you remember, the first one to beat it, right?
Yeah.
And you can only get so far without grinding, and then you just keep dying over and over and over again.
I know. It's a flaw. So, I think it's a flaw in the design of that game. Like, I know people can say, oh, well, there's some games where you just have to grind to get to a certain level, but I'm like, You had to grind, like, multiple times, like, each dungeon boss. You had to grind every area to get through a boss. And I'm like, even a minor boss? I feel that's a bit excessive. Unless it's beautiful, like Monster Hunter, then it's okay.
Oh, jeez, Monster Hunter, that could be on the list.
I gotta say, I'm not a huge fan of Monster Hunter.
That's because you haven't played it with us, Lenny.
Trust me, Lenny, I think Scott and I could make that game, like, really fun to play because we were hilarious during that because we were so bad at that game.
Were you playing it on the Wii?
Yeah, the Wii U, yeah.
Or the Wii U?
Yeah.
I played it on the Wii. I think that's maybe what soured me.
No, Wii U is way better because you can manage your inventory on the iPad, the gamepad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus it looks a lot prettier, too. Because it's all HD.
I've really been enjoying Mario Kart 8. That is a pretty game. I just wish I didn't swear at it so much.
That game is on my list.
Yes.
Right.
Highly recommended.
All right, well, do we want to do any more video games or do we want to do another topic?
Let's move on from video games. We talked a lot about video games already.
Yeah, we've talked about 40 minutes of video games.
Yeah.
I will talk about card games. I am going to a tournament this Saturday.
Woohoo.
To play Netrunner. Or as I like to say, to lose Netrunner. We'll see how it goes. I am taking a Anarch deck and a Jinteki deck, which only means something to Matt and Shane. Unless Tony is a secret Netrunner player.
I have no secrets. There's no Netrunner here.
I should have gone into the tournament too, Scott, so then I could play you and then you could beat me.
One of you can wipe so the other one can go on.
Yeah, and you can make it further into the tournament. I don't know if that's how it works, but...
Improve my win percentage. So, but...
You might need more than just you two, then. I feel like there's going to be more rounds. One, two.
Yeah.
Do you know how the tournament's going to work, or, like...
I think, Shane, you know, it's going to be a Swiss, isn't it, Shane?
The one that I was at was sort of a Swiss, yeah, but there were, like, certain rounds, and it was just randomly assigned partners, and then at the end of, three or four rounds, whoever has the best records for the top 8 or 16 move on. I think it sort of depends on how many people show up, but that'll likely be the case. That, yeah, you'll do a couple rounds of sort of Swiss, and then they'll take who has the best records and move them on.
And then, like, then it becomes more traditional style, like, after that? Like,
yeah,
then it's
single elimination, probably.
Do they have announcers there?
No, but
they do not have announcers there.
Some podcasters are recording sessions, though. I don't know if 401's...
Oh, they'll, like...
They set up a camera and they...
Oh, you know what? Yeah, if the bad publicity guys go to that, and they likely will, I wonder if they'll bring cameras to record.
Maybe.
Scott might be on TV.
Oh,
sort of.
Yeah.
At least my hands will be.
Yeah.
You gonna... like pretty in a mum, make sure they're nice and clean.
Yeah. That's top of my mind right now as I try to see if I can have a Jinteki deck that has enough econ to play the cards it has. I know Shane, you say I should use my perfection one, but that's just because you face planted into two snares, which makes you think it's a lot more impressive than it actually is.
That's true. But with some of the new agendas they have, I think you could do really well with them.
Yeah. I guess I still have a couple... I have 2 days to decide if I'm going to run with this deck or just rejig the Perfection one. I like about the Perfection one is the fact that you can't run the remotes until you've run the centrals, but if people are going to be running Andromeda and maybe a Desperado, then I'm probably... That won't be an issue. stupid Andromeda socialite with a rich money starting hand of 9 or whatever. Or 7, sorry.
Pretty good. No, 9. It's 9 cards.
It is 9. It's ridiculous. That's what I gotta say. Ridiculous.
So you're only doing Corp? You're not doing the other? You're not doing Runner?
No, I'm actually pretty comfortable with my Runner deck. I might put in... It's the new Red Queen identity, so... I'm running a Savoir Faire deck where the principle is that I get my breakers out on their turns, and I've got a bunch of cards to target their HQ to try to minimize it so they don't have a lot of cards, and the Kasai programs, or the chess programs, which you haven't seen, Matt, but basically they muck around with ice to reduce their value.
Yeah, you're showing me the cards for them, and I think they had some of it. So do you have to play, like, do you have to play both Runner and Corporate, like, when in the tournament, or can you just choose one type and just go?
No, you play one of each. You play a person, at least last my understanding, is that you play Runner and play Corporate, because that's what you did, the one you went to, Shane, right? The one I couldn't make it to?
Yeah, so each round, quote-unquote, you'll have an opponent. You'll play one game as Corp, one game as Runner, and then, the way that they'll hopefully do it now is if you win, let's say your first game is as Runner. Let's say you win that game, you get 10 points. Then the next game, if you lose, a win is worth 10 points, a loss is worth however many points of agendas you steal. So you could technically, you know, lose one of the two games, but then do you determine the winner by who has the most agendas in the game that they lost?
Oh, okay.
So then that person would be determined the winner of that match, and then that's how you determine who goes on, sort of thing.
That's a good way to do it, because then it's like, so like it counts for the close games too, right? Like if you had a close
exactly,
game,
yeah.
and then you kind of annihilate them the next time around, they'll work out better.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how I do.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's for the fun experience.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Just so I can see how good decks are made versus just reading about them on the internet. So,
it'll be good to, like, just to see how good other people are, which I always worry about when I play video games, too. It's just like, man, I'm good at this game, and then you go and you play, and you're like, oh, I'm so bad. The worst person ever. So that won't happen to you, Scott. I'm sure you're really good. I know you could beat Swampy, only you just go into my mind and...
Oh, you still haven't forgiven me for that, eh? Well, when we're all off next week, when we're playing some board games at the cottage, you can have lots of fun of us messing with you, because I think Lenny's pretty good at guessing it, too.
Oh, yes.
So, but anyway, we've been over an hour, guys, so I think that's enough for a test. When I'm up, Matt, we'll have to figure out where to FTP this thing to so we can post it onto the cast. And if you guys want to think about topics and formats and stuff, and just email or Facebook, or keep on the Facebook chain, then we can go from there.
That's cool. Actually, Tony, you had an idea with the board.
Yeah, well, just by coincidence, a couple of people had asked me questions about old board games.
Oh, like, hold on. I'll be right back, guys. 1 second. Sorry, what's that?
Before you go on talking with that, another game that I was excited for was No Man's Sky.
Oh yeah, that looked really neat.
That's the cool one that, like, you go from, like, planet to planet. It's all procedurally created and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting to see if they can actually pull it off.
Yeah, considering it's only a 4-man team.
Yeah.
And it looks so, so good. That's a PlayStation thing, right? Like, it's coming out of PlayStation first or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool.
So Matt, did you ever finish Bravely Default?
No, that's that is a game.
That's on
I
the
need.
List. Actually,
I got
it's in my Game Boy that's on in front of me right now.
I got to. Well, you, Tony, you're at like you're really far. You should almost be able to beat it soon.
No, I'm like an hour into chapter 3.
No.
So I'm
that's
further than you, but I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm over half done.
It's so good. It's like so old school, but modern twist of like Final Fantasy. I wish they called it Final Fantasy. But I feel like it's maybe like kind of like their experiment. So it's like we're gonna try jobs that are kind of out there, like merchant and vampire.
Okay, sorry. What's the story?
Oh, we were just talking about Bravely Default.
Okay. What's your idea?
You got back.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
thanks.
We didn't want to talk about ideas without you here, right?
Okay. So what's the idea? What's the big idea?
Oh, right. Oh. Not a big idea, but...
Hey, what's the big idea?
Thanks, Lenny.
Discussing old classic board games and the obscure rules, or just rules that people have forgotten about. An example, I got a text message 2 days ago from an old friend. Can you jump backwards in Chinese checkers? I don't know, so I made up an answer, and she took that as law, and she won the game. But I don't know if that's right.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I don't think you can
either. That's why I said no. But another one, like, you know, it's kind of like the obscure rules that people make, you know, around their own risk boards. Because the way you guys play as Watsons is probably different than the way I played with the Ironmongers. There's, you know, just kind of open up discussions about, you know, the differences between rules and stuff like that
That's old
board games bring out.
New board games do that, too. I know that the Rovers, when they play Pirate Dice, they don't play the second half of the game.
That seems, like, weird. You're also came up with, like, Monopoly and stuff. Like, Monopoly, it's like, what do you do with three partners?
Oh, yeah.
It's different for other people.
Oh, Monopoly, Lenny.
I love Monopoly.
But no one else. Actually, I don't mind Monopoly. I think it's all right.
I just go in with an understanding that I'm not only going to play for an hour and a half, and then I'm either going to lose on my own rights, or I'm just going to fake it. Because I get bored.
The problem with Monopoly is that if you start losing, you're like, you can really hang in there for a long time, but you can't win. You can't turn it around. It's not like Risk, where you could turn things around and end up winning.
Yeah. That's true. Do you have any comments there, Shane? Oh my god, he's dead.
Oh.
I'm still here. I'm just, Monopoly's a game that takes way too long to play, and yeah, it's, as you said, everyone plays it differently, so.
Yeah, I don't mind a game taking a long time, but I don't like stalled games. And for instance, we have a game coming out, like that Shane and I are both interested, called Doomtown, which is a card game similar to Netrunner, but it's more tactical. It's like a war game with a deck of cards, and you kind of move your cowboys around the town, and you get in shootouts and take over people's saloons and stuff. And when we played it, we found that there was this big drag in the middle, and it might have been with the fact that we weren't building good decks, but also it was just that. It dragged in the middle, like you spent a lot of time just like moseying around, and it took forever.
Grinding.
So, yeah, like grinding. But, you know, so I think there's something to be said to streamline design, and I think that was the thing with Monopoly, which is that it did have that long middle game. But though, as I was telling Lenny that if you take out a lot of the house rules and a lot of the rules that people use, you actually, the game speeds up a lot because people go bankrupt much, much faster. So,
like the free parking doesn't give you all that money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's one.
The, well, what was to say? Also, players that take a super long time. That's another thing that, like, for board games, because, like, what I don't understand is so if you're sitting there, let's say you're playing a four-player board game, right? And it's like, so you just do your turn. And then, like, don't you think about your turn?
Yeah, and then you just shut off.
Like,
when... You go watch TV or something until...
It depends on the game, though. It depends on the game. Like Takenoko, if you play Takenoko, which is a game where you're building a garden and bamboo grows and you have a panda moving around to eat it, there's only so much decisions you can make on your turn. And if you're not the kind of player to try to watch other people to figure out what secret objectives they're trying to get, I can totally see you tuning out. And then all of a sudden when your turn comes around, you make the decision. Now, what the nice thing about Takenoko is it doesn't take very long to make your decisions, but I think with more complicated game, it's the same sort of thing. Like, if you're not paying, you have to kind of pay attention to other people. It's a criticism a lot of the European-style games, is they say, oh, it's solitaire. But what I find is, it's not really solitaire, because you kind of have to watch the other person to make sure that they're doing it right, because these games are inherently complicated. And, you know, you have to kind of, you know, try to figure out what they're trying to do, and then come up with your own way to make it so that they don't get to do what they want to do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, block them up.
Yeah. Troll them, even.
Yeah.
Love to murder. I think that it takes a long time to have my turn, because I can never figure out what other people are trying to do, so.
John is who I was thinking of when that was...
Yeah.
I don't think John...
That's probably why he wins.
Yeah, that's probably why he wins. But I don't think... Yeah, it's John doesn't, like, tune out after it's his turn. He just intently thinks just forever about something. Like, he's probably...
Well, my other problem...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Oh. My other problem...
Shane, go.
Skype.
My other problem is that I'll have a plan, but then, you know, by the time he gets back around to me, the board will change so much that I'll have to come up with an entirely new plan, and so then it takes me a while to figure out exactly how I need to, you know, respond to what everyone else has done. And then meanwhile, because I take a long time, then everyone else already has an idea, and I usually am not good enough at messing everyone else around, so they all do their turns really quickly because they all have had time to think. And then because they do their turns so quickly, I haven't had enough time to think about my next move, so then that's why I'm slow.
It's how he wears me out in Netrunner.
Where he just, like, outlasts you. It's like, Shane, it's 4 in the morning. I'm so tired, I'll just succeed.
There's an agenda right under this car. This is an agenda. Just take it. So, all right, well, I'm going to let you guys go.